I wanted to try to see if we could find the point of departure from Purim, entering into Pesach. You know, that crossroads. That's my goal for today. So we're studying, even after Purim, Hilchos Purim, chapter Vav, which is the last chapter of six chapters in Likutei Halachos for Purim. And again, we're not starting from the beginning of that chapter. We're going to start in the middle of a very long chapter. But I think if we can possibly highlight the connection between Purim and Pesach. What I'm going to try to do now is create a kind of a framework which is based on what I call the highlights or the overview of what we want to see today. And then, after we give sort of like the overview, introducing some new concepts and new terminologies, then perhaps we could go back to the beginning and fill in the gaps. So what I'm going to do now is kind of very spacey. What do I mean by spacey? I mean, I'm leaving a lot of empty spaces here. So there'll be concepts that don't seem to connect necessarily one to the other. For example, there's a concept called Ashirut, which means wealth. And we're going to see that Ashirut, in the case of the Jewish nation, is something with great, great potential. It's called Ashirut D'Kedusha. And I think we've mentioned this concept in the past, but it bears repetition within the context of Purim, and specifically the battle between Haman representing Amalek and the Jewish people over Ashirus, over wealth. Haman is now, as the offspring, the descendant of Amalek, represents or personifies what we call Sitra Achra, the forces of evil, that are always opposing the Jewish people and trying to bring their downfall. And in the case of Ashirut, the Sitra Achra, this force of evil, tries to steal the Ashirut from Klal Yisrael, take it away from them. Because as long as the Ashirut, the wealth, is in the hands, in the possession of the Jewish people, then it is what's called Ashirut D'Kedusha. It comes from a very high place, and it has tremendous sanctity and can be used to elevate the Jewish people. It really represents another concept, which is called Kavod, the dignity of Klal Yisrael. The dignity of Klal Yisrael manifests itself in their possessions, in their wealth. And that wealth, as we said before, can be utilized to achieve great goals. And the Sitra Achra, whenever they see that there's a tremendous potential in Klal Yisrael to climb higher and higher, they want to attack and undermine that potential. And in this case, Haman is interested in taking away all the possessions of the Jewish people. And by the way, we'll find this throughout Jewish history, that the enemies of the Jews, the adversaries, the Amalekim, and they appear in different guises and in different nations during the course of our history, they try to steal, rob from us our possessions. And even as we speak, we are battling to get back and retain those possessions, to re-establish our ownership and our dominion over that Ashirus D'Kedusha, which has been taken away by the Amalekim, by our enemies. So that's going to be one concept. And then the question is going to become, how do we battle against Amalek in the case of Haman? And hopefully this will give us a springboard to Pesach. And it's not coincidental that Purim is going to be a celebration that is an introduction to Pesach. It's right there at the crossroads as we enter into the 30-day period prior to Pesach. And here we have to introduce another concept, which you'll see here, right here on the paragraph that we photocopied here. And this is again Hilchos Purim in Likutei Halachos, chapter Vav, Halacha Vav, 6:6. Ikar Hanes shel Purim al yedei Mordechai. We have to understand that Rabbi Nosson over and over again introduces the concept of Mordechai and Esther as the two tzaddikim that are going to lead the battle against Amalek. And what's going to be their approach? How do we defeat Amalek? how do we regain possession of all the Ashirus that Amalek has stolen from us? And the answer in this particular chapter, again, there are many answers to this question in different chapters, because Rabbi Nosson is always very original, very creative, and starts from anew. But here, in this particular chapter, the answer is Za'aka. Zayin Ayin Kufhe. Al Yidei Ribui Hatza'aka. By jacking up and intensifying one decibel after another, our Za'aka. Shetzak Lashem Yisbarach. The Megillah records that Mordechai goes out publicly crying out to Hashem. And that is the influence and the impact of Mordechai HaYehudi on the Jewish people at that time. Of course, Esther joins him in this project, in this enterprise, to gather together the Jewish people to cry out to Hashem. For 3 days, if you remember, Lech Gnosis Kol HaYehudim, thank you so much. He says, what's the unique power of Yaakov, of the people of Israel, the descendants of Yaakov? You know that the descendant of Esav is Amalek. The power of Yaakov Avinu is in the mouth. Hakol Kol Yaakov. Whereas Haman, representing Amalek, is the power of Esav Biyodayim, Yidei Esav, but our secret power, our weapon, is the Kol of Yaakov. And that's why you'll find many synagogues are called Kol Yaakov. It's a common name. Because the Kol Yaakov is meant to somehow defeat and bring down Amalek. We have, as the Jewish people, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayeshanan, B'chol Koreinu Elav, God is close to us when we call out to him. And the Pasuk tells us about Mordechai, Vayizak Za'aka Gedola Umara. The Torah, the Tanakh testifies that it is Mordechai Yehudi who breaks the way. He paves the way for Za'aka Gedola Umara Ma'od. And now Rabbi Nosson introduces another concept, which is called Chema, Chet Mem He, or otherwise known as Kaas, anger. It is Amalek who tries to defeat us in this particular area of Ashirus through a method called Chema and Kaas. In the mystical framework of Rabbi Nosson, there are two concepts that are antithetical one to the other. They are mutually exclusive. One is called Ashirus, and the other is called Kaas. The opposite of Kaas, or shall we say it the other way around? I think this would be more precise, more pedagogically accurate. The opposite of Ashirus, that which is antithetical and undermines our wealth, is Kaas, is anger. That's what Haman, his method, Amalek, is to introduce Kaas into the equation. To get the Jewish people to reach a state of, chas v'shalom, anger. And that anger is antithetical to Ashirus. If a person is angry, then they cannot achieve Ashirus. They cannot achieve wealth. Wealth is a result of a person being in a state of calm, of simcha. Again, these are all mystical concepts. They're very new. This is Pnimius HaTorah. This is not something that we're aware of, you know, when we normally learn the Torah. Again, my shiur is not what we call pshat. You know, we have another shiur in Parshanut and trying to understand pshat. This is not our goal today. So if you're interested in pshat, you're in the wrong place. This place is for what's called the secrets of the Torah. And one of the secrets of the Torah is that we have to overcome kaas. If we want to have a true grasp and maintain a permanent possession of our income, of our money, of our possessions, it's got to be through the opposite of kaas. We have to defeat kaas. When a person gets angry, They have to realize that according to Jewish mystical thought, they're in great danger of losing their possessions because kas is antithetical to ashirus. Now, what is kas? Kas is what we call chema. Chema, the word chema, which is the Hebrew word for anger, comes from the root cham. Cham means hot. It means when a person loses control of themselves and they get angry, they're in a state of heat. And that's true even in the common colloquial English. You know, you talk about a person who's in the state of heat and he loses it. He loses control. That loss of control is called chom or chema. And the opposite of chema is based on a verse in Tehillim, in the 39th chapter of Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Cham libi bekirbi. There's a certain fire that burns within me, says David HaMelech. He proclaims that this is the chom, this is the heat of passion that's dedicated to the service of Hashem. The opposite of that heat of passion is the heat of Hamolek, of kas, of anger, of chema. Our goal is to somehow stir, arouse within us a different kind of chom, of cham libi bekirbi. My heart is on fire with a passion to get closer and closer to the Almighty. And therefore, we have to do a transformation. That's what we have to achieve. Lafoch hachamimus, to take the heat of anger, which is a result of ribui tsaros, because Haman puts us into a tsaros situation, a great danger, impeding doom, because he decrees, again with the acceptance of the king Achashverosh, larag lahash, for the annihilation of the Jewish people. That's the greatest tsara, the greatest doom and catastrophe that had ever threatened the Jewish people in all of its history. And as a result, what is Haman's plan? What is his hope? He hopes to introduce kas into Klal Yisrael, chema, anger, a hot anger, when we are overwhelmed by this gzera. And that's going to allow Haman to strike up a deal with Achashverosh that after we destroy the Jewish people, we will take away, we will confiscate all their possessions. And our job, our antithetical counter against the power of Amalek, of chema, of anger, is to take that heat and rechannel it to, as David HaMelech declares, Cham libi bekirbi bagigi tivar esh, I am striving for a passion to reach the Almighty. And that's the tzaak of Mordechai. Mordechai and Esther are teaching us, they're guiding us how to achieve this tzaaka, a crying out to Hashem out of a feeling of passionate desire to come closer to Hashem. To turn all that chema and that kas, chas v'sholem, into tfilos, tachnunos, and bakoshos. These are all tzaakos to come closer to Hashem. Cham libi bekirbi. That's the main flag here, the flagstaff, and the clarion call of, well, again, it's a pasuk in David HaMelech, but it's Mordechai. And Esther is cham libi bekirbi. That's the tzaaka. That's the tzaaka that's going to transform chema and kas into an entirely different force in our lives. A force and a power that's going to project us and propel us into cham libi bekirbi, a chema and a chom that's passionate to reach the Almighty. And that's going to counter the kas that Haman, chas v'shalom, wants to involve, or shall we say, draw the Jewish people into that state of kas in his plan, in his desire to take away and confiscate the possessions, the ashiras, the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And this chamimus halev is connected to tshuva, to a person repenting. The Jewish people are gathered together for 3 days to cry out to Hashem and to achieve what's called mishpat. The literal translation of mishpat is judgment. When a person stands in judgment in front of a judge. But in a deeper meaning of previous HaTorah, the concept of mishpat is sha'adam yishpot es atzmo. A person should judge himself. Don't wait for the courts to judge you. Realize that you're always in judgment in front of the Almighty, in front of the truth. And with that sense of truth, judge yourself. And how does a person achieve that? When he is honest with himself, when he looks deeply into himself and he realizes that he fell short, there was a certain pagam, we call it a deficit. He didn't achieve the potential that he could have achieved when Klal Yisrael for 3 days were involved in investigating themselves on a personal, private level. That's mishpat. And that's tshuva. V'ikar achnas harashal nefashos. He says if we want to defeat that evil that's within us, that represents kas and chema, then we have to defeat it through mishpat, by judging ourselves in an honest-to-goodness way. Self-judgment. That's going to be the tikkun, the rectification of a kas, of chema. Tikkun akas, or bitul hara, is through mishpat, through our ability to judge ourselves. And that's what Mordechai wanted to do. His holy recommendation, Tzok harbe l'Hashem hichnis Yisrael, b'Yisrael litzok l'espal l'Hashem, b'chamimus halev, cham libi b'kirbi, la'fol chamimus akas, l'chamimus tzoko tfil l'Hashem. And through this entire method, this experience of prayer, of calling and crying out to Hashem, b'chom libi, to reach a state of mishpat, and through that mishpat, lachnia sara, to defeat the evil of Amalek, which is kas, shehu bechinas haman. And that means that all those who have stolen, who have confiscated the ashiras of Klal Yisrael, the wealth, the possessions of kiddush of sanctity, those who try to distort the truth, to set the truth back into its place, to replace that falsehood of Haman and Amalek with truth. V'zeu oskim b'binyan hechal kodesh. It means that every single Jew builds for himself a sanctuary of kodesh. V'yasuli migdash. We are each and every one of us called upon to build, to construct our own personal hechal kodesh. And this is v'nahafochu, this is the exact opposite of the sitra achra, of those forces of evil who are trying to steal the ashirus and take it and redirect it towards evil. And we now have to transform that and redirect that v'nahafochu and convert it and transform it to ashirus d'kedusha. U'mardachai yotza milifnei ha-melech, after the great victory over Haman, Mordechai, the Megillah testifies, goes out in front of the king, Bilavush Malchus, Tcheles V'chur. Why does the Megillah emphasize all these beautiful garments, these royal garments of Mordechai? And the answer is, Zeh Ashiras Gadol. This represents wealth. V'zeu Ikar Anes, and the miracle of Purim, primarily is to take that ashirus and reclaim it from the clutches of Haman. And that's v'nafochu. And the ashirus chozeres el akdusha. Now we've brought the ashirus back to its original place, to the possession of Klal Yisrael as ashirus of kedusha. And this has an impact, by the way, on all the nations of the world, because they all witness the Ashiras returning to Klal Yisrael in a miraculous way. And many of the peoples of the 127 provinces want to convert, whatever that means. If it's a full conversion or a partial conversion, we're not going to get into that. But it's an amazing moment in time. It's a historical, you know, breakthrough. Shechozer Ashiris al Kedusha. And now that Chazorah, that replacing the Kedusha and bringing it back to its original place of sanctity, has an impact on the nations. V'misavim nefoshos rabos likolel b'shmo. There's a concept, again, in mysticism called likolel b'shmo. We all want to be included in the name of Israel. And the name of Israel is identical with the name of the Almighty. Our name and His name with a capital H are one and the same. And the peoples want to be kolel. They want to be included. They want to be batel, so to speak, lose their identity, be part of this identity called Shmo Shel Yisrael, the name of Israel, which is the name of God. V'nasim gerim, and they become converts, uvali tshuva harbe ba'olam, v'rabim me'ame arts misyadim. And he says that according to the Mesorah, now the Mesorah, I don't want to get into this because that requires a lot of investigation. The Mesorah, if you take a look in the Baal HaTurim, he very often gives you a Mesorah. It's kind of like a tradition that's transmitted through the generations about certain words and letters in the Torah. So one of those Mesorah traditions is that there are six psukim in all of Tanakh that are made up of words that have five letters to it. So you'll have an entire pasuk with a number of words, and each of those words is made up of how many letters? Five. Do you have that? How many such psukim are there that are verses that are totally, totally made up of letter of words that have five letters? There are only six in the entire Tanakh. The first pasuk of the six is Vayoled Noach Eshem Eschom. Right? So you take a look at this pasuk, and it says, I'm sorry, just one second. I made a mistake. Five words in the pasuk, each word is made up of two letters. Scratch what I said before. Just, I'm juggling a few things here, so I apologize. I'm trying to juggle the microphone with the camera and the book in front of me. It's very hard for me to do this. Anyway, so let's take this pasuk. Noach, two letters, S, two letters, Shem, two letters, S, and Chum. Each one, five words consecutively. Each word is made up of how many letters? Two letters. Scratch what I said before. Here's another pasuk, also in Bereishis. Ki gam ze loch ben. Again, you'll look into the page that we gave out to you. You'll see that there are five words consecutively. Each word is made up of two letters. And then, ki yod al kes ka, at the end of Parashas B'shalach, the defeat of Amalek, five words consecutive, each word made up of two letters. Then, this is in already Tanakh in Shmuel, it says, al ke lo ba el shulchan amelech. So you'll have al, kein, lo, ba, el, five consecutive words made up of two letters each. Then in Sefer Melachim, gam li gam loch lo yir. And then finally in Nehemiah, ein ze ki im ro'alev. Only the Mesorah could come up with this. Five consecutive words made up of two letters each. Says Rabbi Nosson, maybe we should take a second look at this. Vayoled Noach. Who is Noach? The Torah testifies about Noach, ish tzaddik. He is the tzaddik. Tzadika emes. So what is he doing? What is the goal and the role of a tzadik emes? He's trying to gather the people of Israel, or at that time the Bnei Noach, and he's demanding, so to speak, of each one of them to create a Heichal HaKodesh. So that's called Vayoled Noach. Eshem, Eschom, etc. Hainu Shemolid Nefashos Kedoshos. And these holy souls are called Shem. So the word Shem is not only a name of one of the sons of Noach, but Shem metaphorically refers to the essence of a nefesh that's holy, a holy nefesh. As it says in Bereishis, nefesh chaya hu shmo. So we see that the nefesh, in its pure spirituality and sanctity, is called shmo, it's called the Shem. The Shem of a person, the essence of a person, is his holy soul. V'alkein ikar his karvusom al yedei shebegadel Hashem. So now he wants to gather them together to create this Heichal Kodesh. And how does that get achieved? When you glorify the name. How do you glorify the name? Through wealth, right? A person who's wealthy has a certain glory to him, right? Aval abaldovar misgare v'hu koruch achar kedusha. So the baldovar, whenever there's a potential of reaching a higher level of kedusha, that's when he attacks you. And what does he do? He tries to introduce kas v'chema, right? That anger that we spoke about, which is antithetical to ashiris, the kedusha, to steal the ashiris from the tzaddikim, from the Heichal HaKodesh. Ach tzaddik bemes mahapich hara. Where is the evil in this pasuk? It's Cham, right? The name Cham is also the name of that kas, of chema, of anger. Bechinas chamimus hakas v'ak. V'mahapich lebechinas cham libi bekirbi. Again, that pasuk, the flagstaff pasuk from Tehillim. V'ayinu litzok ulispal Hashem yisbarach v'chamimus halev. V'zeu v'yoled Noach Hashem. Noach is able to influence, as a tzaddik, the nefashos, and they called Shem. V'yascham, what impact is the tzaddik Noach going to have on Cham, v'yoled? V'yoled means he transforms the chom of Cham from chema and kas to Cham libi bekerbi. And then the next pasuk in that Mesorah is Kigam ze loch ben. And what does that mean? Whenever you bring a Jew closer to his name, to his essence, to his shoresh, his root, his origin in the nefesh, in the spiritual sanctified world, he's called a ben. Right? What we have to do is create banim. Banim are like talmidim. And these are those who become closer, who are brought close and elevated to Torah. Ki gam ze loch ben. And then it says, ki yad al keis ka. That's the Melchama of Amalek. And Chazal tell us, in the Medrash Tanchuma, Shenishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God takes an oath. He grabs onto the holy throne. Shein shmo sholem vein kiso sholem at sheyimcha zecha Amalek. In other words, we're going to have to defeat Amalek, who is trying to undermine the shame. Again, the shame is the essence, the glory of the people of Israel, and the name of God. And what is the method of Amalek? Alidei kas. And through kas, by getting us angry, Amalek then is able to be gozel. He can steal the shefa, all the benevolence that comes down from Shamayim, which is the bechira, which is called in the Torah's language, ki yad al kes ka. The shame of Hashem is incomplete until we destroy, obliterate Amalek, because Amalek introduces kas into the world and steals from us, robs our ashiris the kedusha, our shame, our glory is down, down, down. And we know this in the last century, how the Amalekim were able to bring our name down to the lowest level. And now we have to defeat Amalek. So your point is well taken. There may be two levels of kas. Again, we're talking about unjustified kas. Kas as a result of the fact that you're in a state of tsara and you're angry. You know what people who never undergo surgery and if they're ill and they get angry at God. You know what I'm saying? Right, so this anger. Right, we're talking about anger at God. When people are angry at God, chas v'sholem. Again, I hate to say these words. You know, that's the kas that is antithetical to Ashiras the Kedusha. And that's what Amalek tries to do. They try to bring us into a state of doom, of catastrophe, of crisis. And in that state of crisis, unfortunately, we reach Kaas. So we have to defeat Amalek. And Amalek again wants to attack our shame, shame shin mem, and bring us to shame, S-H-A-M-E, by humiliating us and taking away our Ashiras. And they're going to be successful in taking away our Ashiras if they bring us down to the level of Kaas, in which we get angry at Hashem, as we said before. Now, the Shlemus of his Kisei, right, which means that God will defeat Amalek and then the Kisei will be complete, that's represented by another concept called Kisei HaMishpat. And as we said before, Mishpat means judgment, but not the judgment that's external to a person, but rather the internal judgment of a person. So the main battle against Amalek, when Amalek tries to steal from us the Ashirus and destroy and undermine our kavod, our shame, shezeu b'chines Ashirus, she'eno mishtadlim umashirusam yavo, nachas l'shem yisbarach. They don't want to let the Jewish people reach the state of Ashirus, which will be a nachas for Hashem, which will be something that God is happy about. Because if we have Ashirus and we use it properly, lahaspik yidei lomdei torah k'sherim v'yireim be'emes, there's such tremendous things that we can achieve with Ashirus if it's in our possession, to bring about the glory of God. And this is what the Sitra Achra and Amalek especially can't tolerate. Ein rotzo lova b'ashiruso shel shulchan ha-melech. Remember that the third pasuk, or I think it was the fourth pasuk in the list of six that we spoke about in the Masorah, was al kein lo ba el shulchan ha-melech, which means that Amalek, who causes the name of God to be incomplete, they want to steal something from the shulchan ha-melech, from the table of the melech. The melech here is not a human king. It's the Malko Shel Olam, the king of kings. And what is it on the table, so to speak, figuratively, of the Shulchan HaMelech, of the king of kings, that is bringing about Ashiras the Kedusha, which is intolerable in the eyes of Amalek? That is Tzadikei HaEmes, Vanilvim Aleihem, those who are students and disciples of the true tzaddikim. And their goal is to bring about what it says in the next pasuk, gam li gam loch lo yir. God says, we, meaning God and you, will be deprived of our ashirus, because it's going to be taken away and robbed by these forces of the Sitra Achra and Amalek. Who is the Sitra Achra? Who are Mesis, who are Mediach, who are Mastin? He seduces all those people who would normally naturally follow in the footsteps of the Tzaddik and be dedicated to God. He's Mesis. He tempts them to reject God. She is Gabru Bekas, that they should be so angry. And then once they get angry, then he could be Mekatreg, he goes up, and he serves the role of the prosecutor against Israel. Look at your people, they're angry at you. That's what he says up in Shemayim, the Mekatreg, Yimach Shemo. And Toref Mehem Ashiruso, he confiscates their wealth. And the Jews, unfortunately, all their wealth has been taken by the Goyim. They're left penniless. And that's Gam Li, Gam Loch Lo Yir. Vizel, and then that's the last pasuk of the six. Ein Zekim Roa Lev. That's the evil and the kas of Roa Lev. But now our Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ki Yod Al Keska, Emches Amalek. God pledges that he will defeat Amalek. And how does he do so? Machnis b'Yisrael, he sends the tzaddik to influence the Jewish people, to uplift them. She is zaku elav, that they should cry out to God. Bechamimus halev, as we said over and over, cham libi bekirbi. And that is mefer atzas goyim. That's going to undermine the plans of the goyim to uproot us and to destroy us. And Haman puts up a tree that's 50 amos high to hang up Mordechai and to defeat Mordechai. Because when we talk about going back to the roots, the highest level, the origin, it's always the number 50. It's not coincidental that the eights is 50 amma high. Because 50 amma represents the Ashiris of Kedusha. The Hagdolas Hashem v'nefesh shel Yisrael. In fact, how many tribes do we have? 12 tribes. And if you look at the letters of the 12 Shvatim, they equal the number 50. There are 50 letters in the 12 tribes. And where are these letters engraved? They're engraved on the choshen and the ephod that's worn by the Kohen Gadol. And these items that are worn at the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, the choshen and the ephod, are bechinas ashirus. They are made of avonim yikaros miod, the most expensive and rare precious stones, are on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. And he, the Kohen Gadol, wears them on his lave. And on these stones, these precious stones, are engraved the names of the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael. Because the Shoresh and the Nefashos and the Shemos of Klal Yisrael are all engraved in the 50 letters that are inside the Avonim Tovos, the Ashirus, which comes from, as we said over and over again, from a very, very high place. Why is it called the Choshen HaMishpat? Because as we said, in order to achieve this goal of uplifting our name and glorifying the shame and the nefesh of Yisrael, we need Mishpat, a self-imposed judgment. Lachnia hara. And that's how we could defeat evil and burn away those influences. Now we get back to our original question that we started with. What's the connection between Purim and Pesach? And we're in paragraph number 9, which I think you have here on the back side of this page, on the flip side. He says, Ikar b'chinas ha-Pesach hu l'saken ashirus. Wow. Pesach is also in order to rectify ashirus. La-loso, to bring it up from Golus, from the exile. From Pesach. From Tumas Mitzrayim. La-hotzi ashirus min ha-akum. Mitzrayim confiscated all the possessions of Klal Yisrael. Anything we owned belonged to the government of Egypt. We had no Ashiris. They robbed us of any possessions. And the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is l'saken Ashiris la'loso me'agolus me'asitra achra me'atuma. Right? Mitzrayim is the tuma, is the personification contamination, and to uplift it to Kedusha. Lahotzi ashirus min ha'akum. Anybody know what concept should come to your mind immediately when we say to get back the ashirus from Mitzrayim? Bizas Mitzrayim. What's Bizas Mitzrayim? V'achakach yetzu b'rchush gadol. What's that all about? We're going to leave Mitzrayim with b'rchush gadol. Like, who cares? Like, why is that important? We never saw the Torah putting so much emphasis on rechush gadol. Lahotzi ashiris min ha'akum. To reclaim our ashiris that's been taken away and confiscated by the goyim, harashoyim, the evil ones. Lachnis, to bring back that ashiris li Yisrael. To the tzaddikim, to the ksheirim, ha'ovdim es Hashem Yisparach, im kol ashiris, We use our wealth to serve the Almighty. Lahagdil shmam v'nafsham. And the glory of Israel and the glory of God is uplifted. Lahagdil shem Hashem. And the Pasuk in Dvarim says, Ashteros tzonecha. The Gemara in Chulin derives from this Pasuk, Ashteros tzonecha, that Mashiros es baleim. This is a reference, an allusion to the Korban Pesach that's brought on Erev Pesach and eaten on the night of Pesach. It comes min atzon. I don't know how you say tzon in English. It's the more docile animals, you know, like the sheep and the goats and so forth and so on. That's called tzon in Lashon Kodesh. Ashteros tzonecha. The word ashteros in its root is mashiros. Through ashteros, by bringing the tzon, we achieve ashirus. Ve'amitzrim hayu ovdim letzon. That same tzon that we bring on the, as the Korban Pesach was an idol, was a god, a deity for the Mitzrayim, because they worship ashirus. To them, idolatry and wealth are one and the same. And if tzon represents Ashirus, Ashteros Tzonecha, then they, the Akum and the Mitzrim, are going to make an idol, a deity out of the Tzon. Ki Ikar Nefilas Ashirus B'Mitzrayim Sheshom Kol Ashirus D'Sitra Achra. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya to prove that the Ashirus of Mitzrayim goes down to the lowest level of the Sitra Achra, the forces of evil. Hoy hayordim Mitzrayim li Ezra u'Mitzrayim Adam v'lo El. They made a god out of Ashirus. And we know today how many people worship money. He says, Bishvil ze gol Yisrael Mitzrayim. Why did the exile in the divine plan scheme take us into Mitzrayim? Because in Mitzrayim, the Ashirus was used for idolatry. And we were brought down to Mitzrayim kidei levarer Hashirus. Remember, we spoke about a mystical concept called Birur. It came up over and over again in our series. Birur means when you take something that looks evil and it's full of psolus and you bemavara, you select and you elevate. Ki Ashirus bekesef v'zov sham, the holy Ashirus of gold and silver fell, right? The nitzotzos, the holy sparks in the mystical thinking fell, and they were taken by the sitra achra, by the contaminated Mitzrayim. But what is the kesef and zav in its pure form? It's gvadim ilayim, different colors, beautiful colors, holy colors. But nefilas hanitzotzos, but those nitzotzos of Kedusha in the Gvanim Ilan fell to the lowest level in Mitzrayim. And we were called upon to go into Mitzrayim and to free, to redeem, and to elevate those nitzotzos of Ashiras, the Kedusha that fell, that were trapped in Mitzrayim by the Sitra Achra. And this connects, which is again a whole other discussion, we don't have time for this, to the Chet of Adam HaRishon. And the punishment was b'zeyas apecha tocha lechem, that you'll be full of daiga, of worry about your parnasa. Everybody's worried about their parnasa. And it creates a merirus and a kind of an anger. It's antithetical to what's Ashirus the Kedusha. So the golus was dafka Mitzrayim, because that's where there was the nefila of the Ashirus that fell down to the lowest level of fear, of anger. V'alkein hoisa ikar avtochel Avram Avinu v'yachrei chen yetzu v'chush gadol. Already in the brismain of Asarim, God promises Avram that the people of Israel will take out a rechush gadol. What is rechush gadol? Ze ikar tikun shenas al yidei agolus. The main tikun was to take out the Ashiras from the Sitra Achra and the contamination of Mitzrayim and to elevate it, to bring it back to the level of Kedusha. That's the Rechush Gadol that Hashem was speaking about. And the Korban Pesach is brought min atzon. Why? Because All of this desire and respect and glory for money, the desire for money as an end to itself, is a taiva. It's a desire that's represented by the tzon. That's the ashiris of the sitra achra. And we now take that ashiris of tzon and we slaughter it as a sacrifice. One of the holiest sacrifices that we know of in all of Hilchas Karbonis is the Karban Pesach. That's the ashiris of tzon that elevates ashiris to the highest level. And how do we eat the Karban Pesach? The Torah says, tzli esh. It's got to be roasted on a fire. What's the idea of a fire? And the answer is, as we saw over and over again, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Cham Libi, the chom, the heat, the fire, the passion, the desire. Shenemar Torah lachnias hara. We want to overcome the evil. The evil has an ash of kas, a fire of anger. And now we want to use a fire for Korban Pesach to elevate it to a level where it's not kas against God, but on the other hand, it's a passion for God, to search for God with chom, with heat, with passion, with dedication. And that's to be metake in the pagam of Ashirus. And that is the essence of Tzli Eish of Korban Pesach. Now the Tzli Eish concept of Korban Pesach takes on a whole new meaning, because Tzon is Ashirus, and now we want to take that Chom and that Kas, Chas V'Shalom, and redirect it and rectify it and elevate it and transform it into a heat of Korban Pesach, of dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we're up to paragraph Yud Aleph, number 11. V'zeh b'chinas iser chametz u'mitzvas achilas matzah. Now we're getting heavy into Pesach, not just Korban Pesach, but the iser of chametz and the mitzvah of matzah. The Gemara says, ein bein chometz l'matzah l'mashu. Really, matzah and chometz are almost identical. There's just a little difference, a mashu. Excellent. That's what he's going to point out in the next few lines, that matzah ends with a hey, and chometz has the same two letters of mem and sadi as matzah, but instead of a hey, there's a ches. What's that all about? He says, this is the mashu between the negative kas and chom of Ashirus and the positive chom of Libi Cham Bekirbi. He says, Ikar Achiluk Be'adaku, the main differences between choma and chema. Matzah was with a hay. And that's Bechinas Ashirus. Bechinas Holachem Zera, Pasuk in Brachos. Hashpas Ashirus, Shehimshech Yosef B'Mitzrayim. What was the Ashirus concept of Mitzrayim of Yosef before the Mitzrayim and Paro? That's the Ashirus of Kedusha. And that's the matzah with a hey of Hey Lachem Zorah, Yosef says. The hey of Hey Lachem Zorah, in Yosef's words, refers to the hey of matzah. And that's the Ashirus, the Kedusha. Bachametz, the same word, but instead of a hey is with a ches. And that ches represents chema v'kas, as David said before. There's no chema without the ches. Matzah is called lechem oni. Why? Why is matzah called lechem oni? Because matzah is the opposite of oni. Oni is a poor person. And in Mitzrayim, we suffered from poverty. Why do we suffer from poverty? Because the golus of Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim and the Sitra Achra took away, they confiscated all our possessions. And as avodim in Mitzrayim, we had no possessions of our own. This was all a result of the evil of Mitzrayim. And now, we're going to take that evil and we're going to rectify it. Ikar tikun ashirus. How do we reach this level of tikun ashirus? And he says it's all through lechem oni. A different concept of oni. Imagine, the word oni could be the worst curse in the world. It could be the lowest level of contamination. It could be representative of the umos ha'olam of Amalek and the Sitra Achra, stealing everything that the Jew owns, taking possession through kas, of all the Ashiris to Kedusha. But now that same Ani, that same word poor, now takes on an entirely different meaning. Just the opposite. It's something positive. And what does it mean? How could you say something is matzo lechem oni and it's positive when it's the bread of affliction, of poverty? And the answer is, because that's what Ashiris is really meant to be on a level of Ashiris to Kedusha. Misha Edom is garbedaito. Instead of saying, well, look what a wealthy guy I am. You know, I'm the president. I should be sitting up front because I've acquired all this wealth. That makes me big. That makes me conceited. I build up myself. And instead of that, Eino misgar bedaito. He feels himself as an ani. He feels that anything that God gave him, he doesn't really deserve. It's all from the hand of God. Ezu osha asameach b'chelko. He's happy with what he has. And David Amel says in Tilim, ki ani v'evyon anochi. David identifies himself as an ani. Vani ani v'evyon. Ki adam roi lo lahavin otzem ani yuso bazeh olam. Do you see now the connection between Purim and Pesach? Right, Purim is all about reclaiming the Ashiris that Haman took away from us in order to elevate it to Ashiris the Kedusha. And that's what Pesach is all about. Korban Pesach is Tzli. And now we get to Matzah, which is Lechem Oni with a hay, the opposite of Chametz of Chema that takes away our Ashiris. Now we're going to do a Tikkun on Ashiris. Ki Adam Roilo Lahavin Otzem Aniyuso Baze Olam. A person could be as wealthy as you can imagine. He's the king. He's one of the, has the same Forbes magazine, you know, one of the five richest people in America, right? But yet, he feels himself as an ani. Ki atzadik yefshel lotzeis yidechov v'olam hazeh k'neged Hashem yisproch. No matter what he does, no matter how much money he accumulates, it's all from the hand of God. And he can never take pride and claim it for his own, as if it was his creation. Whatever he eats, it's not his own. It's not It's not a result of his own work, but rather it's a gift from God that he doesn't even deserve. It's all gratis. And therefore, he's always happy. That's Ashiris the Kedusha. That's what it means to be wealthy and have possessions, but it sanctifies and it uplifts you. Mekimi mi ofra dol. It uplifts me. I'm a dol. He's mesim atzma ka'afar. He sees himself as not deserving. And then he's happy with whatever he has when he realizes it's a gift from God. So this is the matzah that we eat on the night of Pesach, the Lechem Oni. That represents the Ashiris of Kedusha. Yiratzo may it be his will that we could bring back the day of Ashteros Sonecha, of Tzliesh, of the Korban Pesach, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and we'll bring back the Ashiris of Kedusha to Klal Yisrael. We'll reclaim all that's ours. And in the meantime, at least, we can eat the Lechem Oni, Holach Ma'anya. We invite the guests, Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol, because we realize and we acknowledge that any wealth that we have is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not really ours. We didn't deserve it. We didn't create it. Uba biza lo sholchas yodom, because that biza represents the Ashiris the tumah of the Sitra Achra. But what we do take out is going to be v'acher kach yetzu b'chush gadol.